Amos chapter 3, working our way through this Old Testament minor prophet. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you found your place tonight, Amos chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city? And the Lord hath not done it. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? I want tonight to look at this matter of the question that is delivered in verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Let's pray and we'll ask God's blessings and direction in the message tonight. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you for the many that have come here to be here on campus. And we do again thank you for those that are online. We pray that you would continue to protect and bless and watch over each one in dealing with the nature of the virus and how it has affected our country, our city, and our church. Lord, I'm so thankful that thus far you have protected our church membership and our school, and we continue to ask you to watch over and bless, Lord, and we pray that we'd have wisdom with each step that we take. We pray for your hand of guidance upon our decisions, and Lord, we pray that we take the right steps in the right timing. We do thank you and praise you that we've been able to have services, that we've not faced much of what some other states have faced, and I'm grateful that we can meet together again tonight. Would you bless in the message and direct my thoughts tonight? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We might call this passage the justification for all that the prophet is going to share concerning Israel. And he says to them right there at the outset, you've made a choice to depart from walking with God. You'll remember with me in chapters 1 and 2 that the Lord walks through his prophet, or works through his prophet, as the prophet walks through the nations that surround Israel. He walks through those that would be considered their foes. He walks through those that would be considered their family members. He walks through the nation of Judah, and then he walks through the nation of Israel itself. And chapters 1 and 2 deal with the message of crime and punishment. These are your crimes, and this will be your punishment. We come tonight to this passage, and it's perhaps a familiar passage. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Perhaps you've had individuals that you fellowshipped with for a time, but you realize or recognize that there's not a ton of agreement between you. And so you reach that point where you just say, I think we're going to part ways. Perhaps a young man is a New York Yankees fan, and he thinks that a young lady is very attractive, and he would like to ask her out, and he finds out that she's a Boston Red Sox fan. And can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a very difficult match to make, even in the heavenlies. And so there will always be those kinds of things out there, and you'd say, well, we thought we might have a match, we thought we might be good friends, but we realize that we're not walking together. And so there's some kind of hindrance to the fellowship. And I want to work away from the question and then end with the question tonight. We begin with verses 4 through 6, and we'll come back to verse number 3. But I want you to notice what leads up to this issue of can two walk together. Look with me, first of all, number one tonight, at the action of God, or the action by God. Would you look at verses 4-6? This is what he says here in the verses. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? We find here in the passage that there is a resounding answer for every single one of these questions. The resounding answer, as you and I read down through these verses, the resounding answer to all of these questions is a loud, you're scared to answer. It is a resounding no. These things do not occur, but that there is an answer, and the answer is no. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? No, it's not going to happen. We walk down through all these questions. Will the lion roar? No. Will the young lion cry? No. Will the trap be set for a purpose? No. Will the trap be left until prey is taken? No. The trumpet will alert the city? No. There will be judgment in the city of evil? No. And all these kinds of things we answer with a resounding no. The question then becomes, will the Lion of Judah make threats without following through? And the answer again is a resounding no. Will the Lion of the tribe of Judah make such threats against the nation and then not fulfill his promises? Well, the truth of the matter is that God will bring judgment. He would bring judgment upon these lands. We recognize from the Old Testament that God brought judgment on many occasions. Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that God saw the sins of the world and it grieved him at his heart. And so he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. God would judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says he rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God says that he was going to bring judgment to the northern kingdom of Israel. And in fact, he did that. The Assyrian army comes in and utterly wipes them out and carries away the remnant into their own land. God judged the southern kingdom of Judah. 2 Kings chapter 25, in verse number 21, Babylon comes in. In fact, later on, in the Word of God, in the New Testament, we find that God is going to continue to bring judgment upon the world in the time frame of the tribulation. And so there is an action that is taken by God, and God delivers these questions and says, will all these things occur? No. Well, will God act, or will God set aside what has been done and what is being done by the nation, by his own people? Well, he says, well, surely, if the answer were that none of these things would occur without some kind of action, God is saying, listen, there will be action that occurs from on high. And just as he has brought judgment in all these other scenarios, he will bring judgment. There is an action by God. But number two, I want you to see, before the action by God, the Bible says that there's an announcement from God. There's an announcement from God. Before there is an action by God, there is always an announcement from God. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 7, would you look at that verse again with me? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his own servants of the prophets. So when you and I read the Word of God and we find that man sins against God, God does roar, if you would. But it's not a meaningless roar. There is an action that is about to follow. But before that action takes place, you and I see consistently in the Word of God that God brings an announcement through a specific individual. I want you to think with me for a moment about how God makes his announcement to the people that he's going to address. One commentator said this, these tokens are given before the evil comes, and the God of nature and of grace has made it a law in nature that what is fearful should have signs of coming evil. So has he made it a law of his own dealing not to inflict evil without having foreannounced it. And there's a warning that something is at hand. Now again, what is the story here in the book of Amos? Well, we read that God called Amos to take the gospel out of the southern kingdom of Judah and to carry it forth into the northern kingdom. God chooses a man. In Genesis chapter 6, it's the story of Noah. And the Bible says that Noah preached righteousness while he built the ark. In Exodus, we find that Moses comes back and warns Pharaoh of the issues that lie ahead if they were disobedient to the Most High God. In the kingdom of Israel, under the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel, Elijah proclaimed the message of Almighty God. Elisha proclaimed the truth of Almighty God. In the book of Jonah, the Bible says that the sins of Nineveh had come up before God. And before he brought judgment on them, he sends Jonah that he might preach repentance. We find the names of Peter and Paul. We find others in the New Testament. We find today that there's a great preacher by the name of Jesus Christ who laid out the preaching and the teaching of the truth of the gospel and of the word and warned men that they must repent. He warned Israel in Matthew chapter 23, and it's a tremendous section of verses there towards the end of Matthew 23 where the Lord lays out all the individuals that God had sent from the time of Abel moving forward, and time and again Israel had rejected the message that had come from these men. We find that God would use a man, but we find that God uses a specific method, and it's always been by the method of preaching. In Jonah chapter 3, God said to Jonah, "Go, arise, and go to that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." In Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." In Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14, "Now after that John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, it references Noah, and it says that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We understand that God is going to act, but before that action takes place, God makes an announcement to the people to get right, to change their ways, to repent. He sends a man, and he has a method of preaching to deliver his message. And that message is repentance. Make things right with Almighty God today. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, John the Baptist came and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now these are straightforward and simple statements. There's nothing really hard to understand about what we've read so far. And all these questions that come back, these rhetorical questions, well, of course, the answer is no. There's an action that is coming from God. But before that action comes from Almighty God, there's an announcement. And God uses a man with a specific method and a specific message, repent. You say, well, okay, Pastor, I see it here in the passage in verses 1 through 8, But what about the verse number 3? Well, this is where I bring all of us to a point of understanding, and I hope tonight that this will be a help not only in your life, but if you're seeking to help in the discipleship of someone else, perhaps you're working with a spouse or a child, perhaps an adult child, perhaps a coworker, perhaps someone that is running away from Almighty God, and you'd be given opportunity to speak with them and to address specific things in their lives. Let me encourage you tonight that Amos is giving us an unbelievable statement. As we understand that there is an action from God that is preceded by an announcement from God that is also preceded by something. And this is where I want to warn each and every one of us tonight. And perhaps you take this warning and share it with others as well. Before there is an action by God, and before there is an announcement that comes from God, there is always, here it is, an abandonment of God. There is always an abandonment of God. God is going to act. The rhetorical answer is no, none of these things will occur. It's very clear. God is going to act. Before that action has taken place, God will send an announcement and he'll say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Before either of those occur, somewhere along the line, someone has abandoned God. Now let's walk back through verses 1 through 3 and we'll spend just a few moments considering the nation of Israel tonight, and then I trust make some application for each and every one of us. Would you go back in verses 1 through 3 with me tonight? He says in verse number 1, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel." So what's he referring to? He's referring to verses 6 through 16 in the previous chapter. "Israel, you've done these things, and I'm here to proclaim the judgment of Almighty God. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, 'You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed?'" The answer is clearly no. So let's do a little bit of a walk tonight. So I'm walking along with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm acting in unison with what he wants for my life. God says, "I want you to do thus and so and obey these commands," and I'm doing all those things, and I'm doing all those things. And God's got me on the straight and narrow, and God's got me on the right path. But I come along to a side off-road, and I make a choice to leave the path with Almighty God and leave the path of communication, and I choose my own side road. I'm launching out on my own. I'm setting my own course. I'm setting my own path. Well, the truth of the matter is that I'm no longer in agreement with what God is saying. God says, for example, that I ought to read my Bible, and I don't want to read my Bible anymore. God says that I ought to pray every day and have consistent communication with God, and I just don't want to do that anymore. God says I should be in church with regularity, and I should be there when the doors are open. I just don't want to do that anymore. I'm content to begin a process or a faithful habit of doing everything that would be the opposite of what God would have me to do. By the way, folks, any one of us, if not every one of us, will face the billboards of Satan that would lure us away from the path of consistent daily communication with Almighty God. This is a fact. Every single young person, every single young adult, every single senior adult in the auditorium tonight is consistently tempted to walk away from close fellowship with Almighty God. There are things that are put out in the way. And perhaps one lure has not worked with you, but perhaps the next lure will work. And Satan will consistently throw those lures in the water to pull you away from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This action is going to be taken by God. He sent his man to give them the message that they needed to repent. But all of this was preceded by an abandonment of the Lord. You know, as a kid growing up in a fundamental church, I can visibly see the faces of individuals that went right through this process. If I were to call out some names of people tonight, there are people that have been here at FBT for many years. And if I were to call out names tonight, you'd remember those names. And it would start, they'd just say, well, we're really tied up and so we can't make this service. Oh, well, we're really just too busy to make that many services a week. Well, we're really just too tied up and got too many other things going on. And so we're not really going to be, and I mean, pretty soon you wouldn't see them at all. Many occasions it would happen with their young people in the school. They'd have their kids in the school and in the academy year after year after year after year. And there's nothing magical about the academy, of course. But in distancing themselves from one area, they distance from Sunday school, then they distance from church, and then they distance from these activities and those activities. And pretty soon we wouldn't see them at all. I can name a good number. How does that happen? Well, we were walking in unison, but at some point in time, I decided to go another way. Well, what does God say to Israel about this matter? He says to them, first of all, they'd left their father. He said, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. He brings to their memory the fact that he is their father and that he had chosen them. We have the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them to bless thee, and curse them to curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We're reminded of the Davidic covenant. God had a contract with Israel, and he said, I will fulfill my part in the Abrahamic covenant. I will fulfill my part in the Davidic covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17. And said, you are the people of all the earth that I've chosen to bless. But because I've chosen you, and because you are of my family, I will punish you for all your iniquities. That puts me in mind of the times that my dad would say to me, when I would respond, well, Dad, everybody else is doing it. And he'd say, they're not my children. And he would deal with me as a father deals with a son, and I was in trouble, and I knew it. I'd say, well, Dad, are they all going to get away with it? He said, they're not my kids. But I'll tell you this, son, you're not going to get away with it. You see, they'd left their father. And then number two, they'd left his fellowship. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Would you take your Bibles and go back with me to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 this evening, and I want to highlight this matter. They left their father and they left his fellowship. Genesis chapter 3, remember the Bible says that Eve partook of the fruit she gave to her husband, and he did eat, verse number 6. Then look what the Bible says in verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You see, they'd never hidden themselves like that before. When God came, they had wonderful fellowship. When God came, they had wonderful communication. They enjoyed the opportunity to interact with God himself. They loved the fellowship. But now that sin had entered the matter, now that they had chosen to go their own way, now that they had chosen to go the path of disobedience, these two were not walking together any longer. Can two walk together? While ye loved and served me, I dwelt in you and walked among you. Now ye are become alienated from me. Your nature and mine are totally opposite. I am holy, ye are unholy. We are no longer agreed and can no longer walk together. I can no longer hold communion with you. I must cast you out. As one commentator put it, think not to have God with thee unless thou art with God. Can we enjoy God's presence while we are not in agreement? Can we enjoy God's blessings while we are not in agreement? If you and God are no longer close together, who moved? Now, can I tonight perhaps bring some areas of application home and help all of us? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see that verse there, and we understand the context. We understand the nature of what God is saying. He's going to bring judgment because they had chosen to walk away from him. But can I have you think tonight about a little bit, an issue closer to home? We live in a world today in which marriage is greatly affected because two are no longer walking together. And there comes a time where husband and wives make a different choice. And they're no longer walking in unison. And I would say to each spouse tonight, whatever the matter is that is hindering your connection, your relationship, deal with it today. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Pastor, we're not walking in agreement and we're not willing to make things right. The days ahead are going to be very difficult. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that is no. One will eventually walk away. Can a home walk together except it be agreed? I think there are a lot of homes that have division, that have all kinds of issues, and we just pretend that those issues will somehow take care of themselves. And I just encourage you tonight, as you deal with your spouse, as you deal with your children, act in agreement with Almighty God. If there is an individual in the home that's acting in a way that's contrary to Almighty God, mom, dad, lovingly but firmly bring them back into a position of doing what is right. Say, well, Pastor, it's not easy, and I know it's not. It's a very difficult process. I tell you, you mark down which years of raising a child from 0 to 18 are the easiest. Oh, it was so easy when they were in those small outfits and everything like this. This was so great. Well, there's some youngsters that can be pretty strong-willed. I don't know that it's real easy. You're in Walmart and they want a toy and they're going to let you know they want a toy. And when you say, no, we're not buying that toy, they're going to let you know they're not real happy with you not buying that toy. And you say, oh, finally, we've made it out of this or that. And now they're into those 5 to 10-year-old years. Oh, my. I've seen some of those kids before. You've seen them before. And then someone will come along and say, oh, I just can't wait. I have a preteen. It's funny when I interact with the elementary kids in school. Elementary kids, especially boys, away from girls, they're all into social distancing. I mean, I don't have any problem with a fourth grader when we say to the fourth grade girl, you've got to be 6 feet apart from the fourth grade boys. Oh, that's great, Pastor. Finally, this is awesome. They love social distancing. But then they get into those teen years, and now where's the social distancing? I thought just last year you couldn't stand that boy or girl. Well, now you think that boy or girl's cute. And all the issues that come with having them in their teen years, and the ups and downs and goods and bads and everything that happens. Boy, there's all kinds of things. Say, okay, they made it through their early toddler years and their 5 to 10 years, their preteen years, their teen years. Oh, great, they're off to college. Oh, my. I don't know of too many moms and dads that aren't thoroughly praying for their kids at school, wherever they may be going to school. Some are closer to us, some are further away, but boy, there's much to pray about. If you have a daughter in college, you're just anticipating that day when they send you the note that says, I met a boy, Dad. And you said, no, you didn't. I haven't met him yet. All these kinds of things. We had the opportunity to be at a wedding on Friday night and just kind of taking in the nature of a wedding where this individual, it was a young lady getting married, and she was an only child. And I can only imagine what it's like for that dad to walk his only child down the aisle and to say to some boy, yes, I will give my daughter's hand to you in marriage. Behind the scenes, that dad is saying to that boy, if you mess this up, so help me, you will see me again, you know? It's hard to imagine. But I'm telling you, it is wonderful if a family will walk together in unison and walk together in agreement. It's much better, dads, when you're leading your family to church and driving them there, saying, hey, let's get ready, let's get going. We want to be there in the house of the Lord. You say, oh, Pastor, that's just so hard. Well, you know what? I've observed a lot of ladies through the years that have tugged and pulled and tugged and pulled, and they just cannot get their husband to come, but they've been faithful. And they've made sure that their kids are here in the house of the Lord and that they have the opportunity to hear Sunday school and teaching and preaching and everything like that because they believe that it was where they needed to be. It's a shame because we as dads should be taking the lead. It shouldn't be a wrestling match when church services roll around and the time comes for us to go to services. It shouldn't be a wrestling match and, oh, I've got to get dressed again. I've got to go and I've got to be a part of it. No, it should be that the family's unified. Oh, we want to be there. I tell you what, a lot of homes, it's tough right now because they're not walking together. If you have a spouse tonight that doesn't know the Lord, it's a very difficult position to be in. My heart's heavy for you. You're praying every day, Lord, save my spouse. Help them to come to Jesus Christ. Light within them a fire. One of the things I talk about in premarital counseling is being on the same page with your spouse. And one of those pages, is it starts right out in the area of spiritual things. And the world has it all upside down. The world makes an attraction and they base all their attraction on physical things. And then it's kind of an, oh, by the way, what do you believe about spiritual things? And it ought to be totally reversed. I would pray that the young men and the young ladies in our church would find an individual and look across the way and say, I believe that person really has a heart's desire to serve God with all their lives. And so that young man observes that young lady with a willingness to serve Almighty God, and he says, hey, could we go out for a cup of coffee? And they develop a friendship, and from that friendship and the godly path of that friendship progresses, and they develop an emotional attachment then. And then from that emotional attachment, God is the one who has uniquely designed marriage as a protection for the couple in the area of their physical connection. But what does the world do? The world just turns that all on its head, and how often do we as believers buy into it? And we'll allow our kids to make decisions based upon the carnal or the visible or the temporal things of life. And so the day comes that a youngster wants to, or a young adult wants to date someone else, and they come to mom and mom and dad say, no, this is not going to happen. This is not the right path. And the youngster says, well, I don't really care what you think. I'm going to go my own way. Well, that's tough. That's very hard. And I just would encourage you tonight, the statement is made, can two walk together except they be agreed? The fact of the matter is that this has application for every single one of us. Husbands and wives, work out things together. Make your schedules together. Understand what's going on for the family and what's in the best interest of your family. Work together for the betterment of your own kids. Give your best in the leadership of your family because it matters. You don't want one spouse saying one thing and the other spouse saying another thing. If that's the case in your home, your kids know it, and they're always going to go to the one that will be most likely to let the other get away with something. Kids are pretty smart that way. Hey, dad wouldn't let me do it, but I know mom will let me do it. And by the way, it's not the same in every home. Mom will never let me do this. I'll go to dad. Can two walk together except they be agreed? It's going to have an impact on your home. And the sooner that you create that unity, the sooner that you create that desire of oneness, we understand in our home that there's going to come a time that a certain young lady will be more important to our sons than we are. Boy, that's hard to say. That's hard to say. I don't want that day to come. No, actually, I do. You know, that's all right with me, all right? I don't want it to come, but in truth, we want it to come. This is what we're training them for. But before that time comes, I sure want them to be acting in unity with us. And I want them to know we've got their best interests at heart. And by the way, young people, in every decision that your parents have, if your parents are walking with the Lord, they have your best interests at heart. Say, well, I don't know about that. Well, your parents have walked the path before. And it's best to trust them. At times, our boys will say to us, well, there's a lot of things that we can't do in life because of what dad got in trouble with when he was a kid. And they'll say, if dad hadn't gotten in trouble for all these things, we'd be able to do those things. I'm like, well, maybe there's some wisdom to that. I realized it was a bad idea, and so I want to protect you from it. I had a cousin who came in one night visiting our house. My brother had been out on his moped, and my little five-year-old cousin came in, and he thought it'd be a good idea. After my brother had been out on his moped, he thought it'd be a good idea to grab his muffler. And so my little five-year-old cousin reaches out and grabs the muffler, because that was just about his height and everything like this, and he reaches out and grabs that muffler. Well, you know what? He can teach you a valuable lesson about grabbing the muffler on a motorcycle. And I pray that we'll be unified in our voice influencing our kids and that they'll understand, hey, we're not perfect by any means, but we sure want to invest in your life in a wise way so that you don't make the mistakes that we made. I should say that I made. I'm sorry, sweetheart. She didn't make that many when she was growing up. She's the oldest child of three. Didn't ever do anything wrong, right? We want to have a unified family. We want to have a unified marriage. And young people, until that time comes that God has knit your heart with that one that you're going to make a home with, trust your mom and dad. Young ladies, if I could say this to each one of the young ladies tonight here in the auditorium, stay in close communion with your dad. And any boy that comes along, you make sure that they know that your dad checks out everybody that has any interest in them whatsoever. And young men, Staying tight with your moms. Staying tight with your moms. It may be tonight that you say, well, Pastor, I don't have that kind of a role with my dad or with my mom. You know, seek out another godly individual here in the church. Maybe it's a godly grandparent. And you'd seek out a godly grandparent. I saw recently a shirt that said, and I liked it, it doesn't have application to me, so I'm not going to buy it, but I really like the shirt. It said, guns don't kill people. It said, grandfathers with good-looking daughters kill people. And I just got a kick out of that. It has no application to me, but I just thought that was funny. And I was like, that's interesting. Well, it may be that you're a young lady tonight and you don't have that pattern for a mom or a dad. Boy, seek out a godly lady here in the church. For all of our young adult ladies, seek out someone that you can be walking in unison with, that can be a protectorate, lest you go down a wrong path. You see, I know that we read over this verse, and I know that we think to ourselves, well, this has application for my relationship with Almighty God, and it certainly does. And with every single one of these statements, we recognize that before Israel was going to be judged by God, there was an action from Israel that brought them to that point. And that action was this. They were walking in unison, but Israel decided to move. And if I could just bring it right to where we all are, husbands and wives, you're to be spiritually glued together. And the Bible says that God has brought us together and that He has made us one flesh. And if I could encourage you tonight, husbands and wives, make wise choices so that you're walking together in your decision making. If I could say to all the families tonight, to the best of your ability, be walking together in unison. Pastor, we don't have the family that we'd like to have as it relates to husband, wife, children, and everybody that's just in right standing. Well, you know what? Take what you have. Walk with the Lord and pray every day for those that are outside of that biblical circle. Pastor, I've got a child that's walked away. Pray every day for them. Don't give up. Don't stop. Pastor, I'd like for our family to be unified. Don't stop praying that God would bring that about and have you walking together. I say to you tonight, the two will only walk together as long as they are in agreement. But when I'm not in agreement with God, who is right and who is always wrong? I say to you tonight, can two walk together except they be agreed? If there's a problem in your walk with Almighty God tonight, who changed? Who moved? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this very probing question. Can two walk together? And I look out tonight to some very, very dear people. And all of us in our homes face certain challenges. And so I begin in my own heart and my own life and I say, okay, Lord, is my relationship with you what it ought to be? And then I turn to my spouse and I ask, Lord, is my relationship with my spouse what it ought to be? Are we walking in agreement? And then we turn our attention to our sons and the gifts that you've placed in our home. And Lord, are we walking in agreement? And I know that there are some tonight that have very heavy hearts when we deal with these kinds of matters because things have gone awry, maybe in a marriage, maybe in a home. And while we wished we could go back and make some changes or fix some things from months or possibly years ago, we can't do that. But we surely want to walk things back to a place where we first and foremost are walking in line with you, and then we're seeking to make things right. with the others around us. I turn my attention here in the quietness of this moment to each of the spouses. Lord, are we walking in unison together? And if we're not, Lord, may tonight be the night that we humble ourselves and we seek our spouse out for a private conversation and we say, okay, we've been at odds for this number of months and we need to make some things right. We've allowed the sun to set upon our wrath for far too many months and weeks. We want to make some things right. Lord, would you help the young people that are gathered in the service tonight here on campus or those that are watching online? Would you help them to trust their moms and dads? You've given wisdom to moms and dads. Would you help them to trust? They've walked a path already. They have insight. They have wisdom. And moms and dads will jointly make decisions that will impact their kids. And I pray for each of the dads and moms tonight. We have much on our plate to guide our kids from 0 to 18 and then from those years forward, whether it be in college or into some career or into the time frame that they will be involved with someone else and that they'll then make a new marriage. The best time for that 12 or 13-year-old young lady to be in unison with her parents is right now. And the best time for that 15-year-old young man is to be in unison with his parents right now. And I pray for moms and dads as they desire to have the right pattern for the training of their children's lives in whatever fashion that may take, Lord, would you give them encouragement tonight? Many of us tonight have kids that are away from us and that are down in colleges of all different shapes and sizes and settings. And Lord, we humbly come before you and we ask for your protection upon them. As we know that Satan will throw lures in the water to lead us away, it could surely be out there for our boys and girls that are away from us. And Lord, we pray that you'd protect them. Protect them from the devil's friends. And the ones that the devil would bring into their path that would seek to destroy their lives. Protect our young ladies that will grow and meet that great young man. Protect them for that special young man that they might give their lives together for the work of the Lord. Protect our young men from the ladies that would be instruments of the devil as well. And Lord, it is so important for us tonight to take this opportunity to reflect on the unity of our homes. Can we walk together except we be agreed? Satan desires to bring division. Divide mom and dad, divide parents from their children, divide children from grandparents, and just to break up the family that you've designed. I pray that you'd help us to see the error of Israel's way and that they had walked away from the truth of God's word and there were necessary consequences. I pray that the young people would know tonight that it is our desire as parents to protect them from the error that we've probably had as moms and dads. And I know that there are probably young people that will grow bitter and think, well, my parents won't ever let me do anything. But boy, if they can be protected from the scars of Satan, they'll look back one day and say, thanks, Mom and Dad. And that's surely what we desire. As I close my time of prayer, I'm thankful for the investment that these moms and dads are making in their kids. Would you strengthen them tonight? Would you encourage them tonight? Would you help them to stay the course in some very chaotic days? I pray that we'd honor you. In Jesus' name.